Welcome to another episode of This Week with Sabir. In today's hot seat is Dana Olivo. Dana is a business growth specialist and CEO of Market Atomy. Her passion is working with small first stage entrepreneurs to ensure that they start out on the right foot and stay on the path to financial freedom. She has recently launched the first e-learning environment specifically targeting small micro businesses called marketatomy.academy. That's directly under her name there if you want to go and visit her site. And Dana is not only a professional business growth strategist, but is a public speaker and best-selling author on Amazon. She has published 5 books, the latest Social or Sociopathic, dropped May 17th of this year. Congratulations to that, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Sabir. I'm glad to be here, really.
I would love to, in the beginning part of our episode, I would like my audience to learn more about you. So if you could tell us more, a little about yourself and what motivates you to do what you do.
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm a business growth strategist. Basically, what I do is I love to work with micro businesses to help them build that infrastructure around their product or service offering. I've had 2 failed businesses before. I know what they're going through. And they need the help. We as solo entrepreneurs need the help. And so that's what I like doing. I am a marketer, business development, worked 30 years within the architectural engineering construction market. And when the recession hit in 2009, I started Market Atomy.
That's perfect timing.
Yeah.
You have no idea, like in American history, how many times when there were adversity in our history, that's when a lot of interesting companies came about. I mean, think about all the entire evolution of tech startups in 2000, and then in 2008 meltdown that you had the resurgence and resurgence of social media, companies like Facebook and Twitter, and a lot of these companies didn't exist at that time. And that's when they were born at that time,
In all honesty, I had never used social media at all until I started my business in 2009. And at that point I said, okay, this is something I need to get involved with. I need to learn this. And the first one I got involved in was LinkedIn, coming out of the architectural engineering and construction market, which is probably one of the markets that was hit the worst during our recession in the 2008, 9, 10,
I remember that.
Whatever. I had spent, like I said, 30 years in that market. I saw it go through its cycles. All right. The difference between the AEC, which is the architectural engineering and construction market, and any other market is the fact that the AEC market had never really had to work to find work or to sell themselves because there was always plenty of work. Well, 2006 and 7 hit, and all of a sudden government funding shut down. The banks were not loaning anymore. All of a sudden they are struggling to make ends meet and they're having to compete. They're having to go out and find that work instead of it just coming to them.
Yeah. So, it's the origin stories of anyone that I interview is very interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you may have started one way and you have gone a different way. You just mentioned the kind of the construction industry and architectural industry. How did your planning prepare you to be where you are today?
Oh, goodness. Well, in all honesty, it was part accidental and part planned. Okay. Just like COVID with what's happened with COVID. But back when I was working in the AEC industry, during that 30-year process, what had happened was as a marketer, I needed to understand who I was marketing to. Okay. And with that in mind, the AEC industry is more of a B2B market.
Yes, business marketing.
Architects are marketing to contractors or to owners, you know. So it's primarily B2B. And then with the contractual arrangements, going from a what we call a construction bid, I mean, a construction bid contract to a design build contract, all right, there's different ownerships there. All right. In the construction bid or what we call a design bid build contract, the architect takes the lead. And so they design all the documents and then they go out and find a contractor with the owner. In a design build situation, the contractor takes the lead, but the contractor and architect work together. And they go out and they find all the subcontractors. So I needed to understand who I was marketing to. So I took myself through every logistical cycle within the industry, from product development to spec development to design, construction, aftermarket. So when I was laid off in November of 2009, the whole world was going through this recession. Everybody was facing the same thing. The only country coming out of the recession faster than anybody was Brazil. And that was primarily because Brazil was a cash country, first of all. And secondly, they had just won both the awards for the 2014 World Cup Games and the 2016 Summer Olympic Games. So with my experience within the industry, I knew what was getting ready to break loose infrastructurally down in Brazil. And so what I did was I took myself internationally into Brazil to find out where they needed help preparing for these games. And then I would come back to the US and find US companies wanting to break into Brazil, and I would create inroads, and I would represent up to 5 different companies that wanted to go into Brazil.
Wow, incredible. You know, it's funny that, you know, when you're hit with adversity, you know, in your case, it was, you know what, pack up your bags.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and that's something that I always try and teach my clients. You know, you're going to hit roadblocks, but you can look at those roadblocks as something that's going to halt you or something that's going to motivate you to think about how am I going to mitigate this or how am I going to get around this? Because there's always a way of getting around it. I mean,
you might find a way that could be a completely new venue, and people are looking for a solution, and you become the solution.
Yeah. And that's the timing on anything is so critical that we have to look at the signs that are pointing everything to us. Okay. COVID hit. Prior to COVID, as a business strategist, a lot of my work was done through seminars, conferences, one-on-one. Well, naturally, when COVID hit, that stopped. That stopped me completely because I could not do anything more. I had always wanted to develop an e-learning environment. And the timing of COVID worked out perfectly. I spent the next 20 months building this e-learning environment, taking all of my IP, my knowledge base and everything, into an environment that small micro businesses could learn from and afford. Then we come to COVID and we start realizing, okay, we've had over an 83% increase in new business license applications. Even though we had a lot of businesses close their doors, we also had a lot of them start. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the failure rate of these micro businesses over the next 2 years, if we don't get in front of it, we're going to end up with a country that is fighting depression, different anxieties and things like that because they could not make a go of their business.
You know, I think it is pretty critical because I've been working with entrepreneurs of all different walks of life, right? Mm-hmm. What one of the things in their DNA is they're really good at the thing that they know how to do, right? Right. Let me explain that. They may be incredible at marketing. So they say, okay, you know what? I'm going to provide marketing services as an owner. I'm going to do print. I'm going to do digital. I'm going to do social. I'm going to do content marketing, influencer marketing, whatever, right?
Right.
Whatever that craft is. Some people are amazing product designers. So they will sit on in front of a computer, AutoCAD, and do 3D designs and create 3D printed models. And they're incredible at that. But, and so on and so forth. Like the craft is their expertise. And right. They put a company, it's easy to go online and incorporate LLC, incorporation, whatever. Right. That's easy, right? What's not easy becomes challenging. And I would love to hear your view on this, is knowing what you don't know, right? And that's a very difficult thing. Difficult thing for as an entrepreneur, because you think you're all knowing. No, you don't know anything about human resources. You have no idea how to work with supply chain. You have no idea how to run a warehouse. You don't know anything about how to handle customer service if they start yelling at you, you know? So what are your thoughts around that?
Oh my goodness. It's funny that you say that, because I've had two failed businesses in my past, okay? And after two failed businesses, I went back to college and finished up my degrees. I had AA degrees beforehand, but then I went back to college, finished up my degrees, and I originally went in to finish up with business marketing, okay? But understanding that marketing is such a popular degree, I had to figure out, how am I going to differentiate myself from all the other marketers graduating at the same time I was? And then I decided, okay, I'm going to couple my marketing degree with an MIS degree, which is database design architecture. Okay. I'm not a programmer, but I understand databases and I can design databases. All right. So by doing that and knowing that technology and database and data collection and all of that was what was coming down, that's what a strategist does. We start thinking about, okay, what's coming? What are the trends moving towards? You know, how can I position myself in front of those trends as a viable aspect or partner or whatever to, you know, really take advantage of that? So when you say what you don't know about business, until I went back to college, I didn't know what I didn't know about running business. Going through my college years, the very last course I ever took in college, our capstone course, was a simulation course where you actually simulated a business and you had to develop this business and grow this business and products and services and things like that with a team environment in a simulated environment. That was probably the best course I ever took, because it really forced you to think critically. You know, think about problem solving. Think about, okay, here's this situation. How are we going to get out of it? They would throw monkey wrenches into the simulation. Well, a lot of small business owners, they can't afford to go back to college like I could. They don't have the time. They're busy chasing checks, trying to keep those doors open and feed their families. So the e-learning environment was developed so that they can get the same education that I got through school and real life experiences. And they walk away with a customized approach for their business, and they can do it in their own time frame.
I mean, that's very helpful, because I mean, one of the things that the reason I think it becomes even more critical during this pandemic period, I had Steve Cadigan on the show a couple of episodes ago. He's the first chief HR officer of LinkedIn. You know, one of the things that we discussed is, and I want to tie those two things together with what you just said.
Right.
Remote working, how people want to work. And now if I extend that out, I don't want to work for anybody else. I want to have my own thing, because I want to create my own personal brand. I want to set up my own Shopify, and I want to do my own thing. I want to sell my own pizza from New York and ship it across the nation, right? Whatever widget or food or whatever you're trying to sell or service, That's what a lot of people are thinking, not necessarily they want to go back to work. Going back to work has a very different meaning in many different contexts. In your context here, a lot of them have decided, you know, you said 83% is not a small number. It's a gigantic number. And a lot of U.S. economy does depend on small businesses, you know, for employment, for economy, and all of those kinds of things. And when those folks are good at their craft, but they don't have the skill set, I think what you're offering is something that would be very beneficial, because you're absolutely right. They don't have time to go back. They don't have time to go back to even community college to pick up a couple of marketing courses or Excel courses or whatever. They don't have time for that. They're running their shop or their service company or whatever, you know?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, what happens is they have a great product or service, but they don't know how to build that infrastructure and around that product or service. And my approach to anything is the customer experience. Okay. The customer comes first. I've done this with my e-learning environment, everything. I've done everything I've done with the small micro business owner in mind. It's the same thing with any business you're in. The customer experience or expectations or whatever do not stop at the contract. All right. It is not, does not include just the prospecting side of things. It continues on through operations. So when you think about the infrastructure that has to be around your product or service, you've got to look at your operations, your HR, your marketing, your sales team. You've got to look at everything that surrounds that product or service to get it in front of the customer. And you have to be able to anticipate what the customer's expectations are. Every touch point that your brand, that the customer can get in front of your brand, is critical for you to understand. If they go into social media and they encounter your brand, what are their expectations? If you're a landscaper, if you're a business strategist like myself, you know, what are their expectations? You want to be able to anticipate that and be able to deliver the message and answer their expectation at that touch point.
I mean, I think that's a very critical point to kind of remember. If there's a micro business, you know, audience member or small business audience member listening in, that's the miss. Dana, what you just said, that's the miss. If you miss that, what happens? Bad customer service, bad rating on Yelp, people complaining about your work product. I mean, you and I could write a 1,000-page book on all the things that go wrong with missing that one thing, you know.
I like to tell my customers, I said, you know, without customers, there is no business. And it's like being pregnant without a way to deliver. Think about it. Okay. You're all ready to deliver the baby, but there's no doctors, there's no nurses, there's nothing there to help you.
That's a table stakes for comedies on comedy on sitcom.
Yes. I mean, women can definitely feel the pain when you say that. Men, maybe not as much, but you know, but the customer experience, the minute you go into business, you know, a lot of business owners will assume they know what their customers want. And 9 times out of 10, those assumptions are incorrect, because we have to understand what the buying habits are of those customers and what their expectations are. And unless you're going to spend the time figuring that out, chances are you're going to have a hard time bringing those customers through the door. And then once you do, you may find them leaving as fast as they come in because you're not meeting their expectations.
So one phrase that comes to my mind is opinion versus fact, right? Yeah. A lot of small business owners operate on a lot of opinion. My friend says, my wife said, my husband said, my friend, you know, whatever. But none of them, your friend, your wife, your cousin, whatever, none of them buy anything from you. So all they're giving you, because they love you or hate you, they're giving you either a good opinion or a very bad opinion to see you fail. You know, you're not operating on facts. You need to understand, even I would take two or three customers telling me something. If I have a very small set, I'll rather take that over 20 relatives telling me what's wrong with my business.
Right. But on the other, yes, but on the other side of it, okay, you could have a lot of support, but that support is misplaced. You know, you've got your naysayers and then you've got your support personnel or your support family members, you know, and things like that. Again, you have to put yourself in your customer's shoes. You have to, with Marketatomy, I have always, having been there twice before, understanding what they struggle with, you know, where the issues come in, I have put myself in their shoes. So with the e-learning environment, I've paid attention to the fact of, you know, they need to be helped with, what do I do first? What do I do next? You know, how do I afford all this? You know, so cost has been taken into consideration, the roadmap, the experience of going through the learning process, the accountability. We have accountability measures built into the actual program, because learning is one thing, but you have to be held accountable. You have to have that coaching aspect to make sure that, you know, you're staying on track and moving that needle forward. So we've taken all of that into consideration in the academy.
So let's jump into what is the Marketatomy concept and the framework, and let's walk through, just walk us through that.
Okay. The entire Marketatomy Academy platform is built on a sequential approach to launching and growing a business, okay? And it's based around five growth phases. First, you have the see it phase. The see it phase is your napkin phase. This is where you come up with the idea for your business. This is where you're excited, you know, you really believe that this is something that that you could sell, all right? This is the easiest phase to go through. All right. Now, the next phase is what we call the prove it phase. Now, you want to be able to make sure that you're going to be able to make the profit margins you want with whatever it is you sell, whatever your offering is. Make sure that there's a large enough market to support your business. And you want to make sure that you have the right target audience. Who is your avatar? All right. By doing that, you will be able to determine and determine the feasibility of what your product or service offering is. Because you don't want to go on to the third phase, which is the build it phase. The build it phase is where your business starts coming together. That's your business model. That is where you start putting those systems and processes in place. That's where you start putting your marketing, messaging, everything into place, and you start proving that business model works. But you don't want to get into that third phase without checking to make sure that there is viability to what you're offering, because you'll spend a lot more money in the third phase than you would in the second phase. You want to be able to sequentially go. I'm what you call a sequential strategist, all right? What we do is, as a sequencing strategist, we look at the roadblocks. We look ahead at what roadblocks could be there and help determine 1, 2, 3 different roadways, you know, ways of getting to the next stage, should we get into a situation. The fourth phase, by the time you've got your business model developed, you've started bringing revenue in, it's looking good, but you're ready to take your business to the next phase. All right? You're ready to grow it. But first you have to find the funding for it. And that's where we move into the fourth phase, which is the fund it phase. And during this phase is where we start looking at, okay, what's it going to take to grow this business? Are we going to have to bring in new machinery if it's a manufacturing business? Are we going to have to bring on new personnel? I'm getting ready to move into that phase within my business. Sometime middle of next year, I'm going to have to hire new personnel. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to do that. But you have to know how much it's going to cost and where you're going to get that money. Is it going to be through venture capital? Is it going to be through angel investing, bank funding, you know, or is it going to be, you know, self-funded? That's when you move, once you have the money and everything, now it's easier to move into the fifth phase, which is the growth phase. This is where we strategically grow our business 10x. This is where we have decided, okay, by streamlining our processes and systems, by bringing equipment in, staffing in, technology in and everything, now we have the opportunity of growing our business. So the entire platform is built on those five phases. And each of our courses fall within one or more of those phases. We don't want to start out with the funding in the see it phase because we're not ready there. In the see it phase, all we're really looking at is maybe ideology, maybe some ideas on this business and rough ideas on the business model, you know, those kind of things. But with every course within the academy, again, taking in mind the micro business owner, every course we offer through the academy has two components. We have a learning component, and then we have an interactive experiential component. So while you're learning, you're going to be customizing a plan or process for your business. So you will walk away with a plan for your business that you can incorporate into your business plan, et cetera. Every course does this. And I have strategic partners that are contributing to the Marketatomy Academy as well, who are professionals in HR, in legal, in everything Wow. that you're going to need. All right. We also do free informational webinars every month. We have, I have chargedupstudio.live, which is my weekly webinar podcast that I have special guests on. We talk about different things that micro business owners need. And then, as I said, we have our coaching accountability programs, bi-weekly coaching for all subscribers. And then we also have, we're introducing bi-monthly mastermind programs
Wow.
for our micro business owners, all at a price that they can afford. Each of these courses range anywhere from $25 up to $65 per course.
Super affordable.
Yeah, super affordable for small business owners.
Now, let's talk about like each one of those phases. Like when you were describing it, because I've dealt with a lot of, you know, not yeah. necessarily micro businesses, but startups, you know, which is another breed of a micro business in its early stages. Each one of these things is rife with failure, right? Every one of these stages. So let's talk about like what kinds of things that fail at every one of these stages that, you know, maybe we could spend some time on that, starting from like see it phase, like it's at a concept stage right now, right?
Right, right.
What things can go wrong there, or what should we be thinking when we are starting at that very first step?
Well, as I indicated before, you know, at every one of the steps, the customer should be in mind. So you need to understand who is your avatar, who is your customer, all right? If you are an engineer and you're trying to develop, I'm working with a client right now who develops, he's an engineer and he has developed a robotic arm for Wow. wheelchairs, okay, for those who have had tragic accidents, they're stuck in a wheelchair, or somebody who might be recuperating from an accident and stuff like that. He did his research and he found out, you know, that there's a need for this, one that's stable, et cetera. Okay. But I also found, worked with a client just briefly where they wanted to introduce what was, it was an eyebrow tinting. Okay. Us women understand this. You know? We understand the fact that our eyebrows lose their color and everything, you know. And so we did our original. We saw the item. We thought, oh, cool. This would be a cool item and everything. Then we started doing our prove it stage. We started moving in and doing some research on the manufacturing side, on whether there's competitors out there. And we quickly found out that there were competitors. There were products out there that did the same thing.
Wow.
Okay. So by doing that, we saved ourselves a lot of money without going on to the manufacturing stage and the third phase, which is the build it phase. All right. So there's things that you have to take into consideration like that. Again, you know, there's a lot of things. For instance, in the prove it phase, if you are not checking out your competitors, if you're using the wrong competitors, if you're not really looking at true competitors to what you're offering, that's going to skew your numbers. That's going to skew how you will succeed. All right. If you are looking at your avatar and you have not really narrowed down a niche avatar, okay, and you're thinking, okay,
this every woman in the United States.
Yeah. Anybody in the United States or any entrepreneur that is between, you know, 25 and 65, you know, and things like that, then you're going to run into a lot of issues there, because not only is it going to cost you more to market, all right, but you're not going to pull in the customers you want because you are spread too thin.
Yeah, actually, let's dive into that. And I want to put actual parameters around that. Yeah. When entrepreneurs or idea people at this stage, right, they're thinking about, it's a very cool idea.
Right.
Kramer on Seinfeld had the idea that he wanted to have a pizza store where people will come in and they will make their own pizza. Great. Right. Who is going to use it? Oh, it's going to be everybody. Okay. U.S. population, 350 million people. Right. All people, let's call it 350 million people. Yeah. Right. 350 million people, let's say if all of them are addressable just by Facebook, right? All 350 million, are you going to be showing your ad 350 million times, or you want to show on average each person 10 times? That means now it's what? 3.5 billion impressions. 3.5 billion impressions. Let me tell you, per thousand impressions, it may cost between $20 to $100. So if you want to have 3.5 billion impressions, take that multiplier and put a whole bunch of zeros. So this is really important to understand that, because when you get to that funded stage, you have to understand what your scope is and how deep your pockets are, right?
Right.
I can tell you that even, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me, even the likes of Pepsi and Oreos that have been in this business forever, right?
Yeah.
They don't address everybody. They don't.
No.
Right?
No.
They are very laser focused in their ads, laser focused on geography, laser focused on demographics and likes and other, or maybe even some of them laser focused on an influencer's followers very specifically, right?
Yeah.
To make sure that the money that they're spending it in a smart way. So if your statement starts with every person, blah, 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 that's wrong. You missed it, because when you get to the later stage, you're going to bankrupt yourself, and you won't be able to even address that 1% that you wanted to acquire. 1% of people who would take this up, we will be billionaires. You know, every entrepreneur's dream and statement on Shark Tank and anything you read and see.
Yeah.
It's going to become a nightmare for you. That's not going to so be very careful with that. Identify if it's women. Okay, it's only between 35 and 50. Okay, good. Yeah. In Kansas City. All right, good. Very good. So, all right, we can take our Tupperware. We can set it up in Kansas City. We can also get survey. We can actually ask people and all of those kinds of things. That's doable. But if you say of every woman in the United States, that's 150 million women in the United States.
Right. That's exactly it. You know, you don't want to narrow the niche too much, okay? Make it too tight, because what you're going to be doing there is you're going to have to expand geographically in order to meet the nut or the amount of people, I say the nut, but meet the amount of people that you need, sales that you need in order to support your business. Okay. But at the same time, you don't want to water it down. So it's like, where's Waldo? Okay. When you look at one of those Waldo pictures, okay, with the, all the different things around it, it's difficult to find Waldo. Okay. But if you narrow the scope and just do just a small portion where you know Waldo is, it's easier to spot him than it is when you've got such a big picture.
You know, yeah. It's I love shows, space related documentaries on YouTube. I watch it whenever I get tired. I just put that on and to kind of wind down, I watch that. I didn't know, and this is something I learned, the Hubble telescope literally looked at a tiny little portion.
Yep.
Tiny little portion. And they said that in that tiny little portion is a billion universes.
Wow.
Just yeah, that tiny, that. Not I the whole pie, yeah. Just a tiny bit, just this square right here, tiny bit. Yep. And there were like a billion universes in there, that just in that one. Forget about the entire picture, right? And that's not being laser targeted. That's being smart so that you can know about just this much of it. At least you would know everything that you can know about this segment right here.
Yes, no. So one of the things that that I also notice when I'm talking with my customers, okay, is they're so afraid of competition. You know, they're so afraid of, you know, competitors coming in and honing in on their customers and vice versa, okay? And what I explain to them is, if you're doing your job, if you're servicing your customers, that customer experience, you have no reason to fear competition. You know, competition is good for business. It's important for them to understand that the more competitive your market is, the more you're going to work to produce that value that is needed, you know. We do focus a great deal on, you know, what is your value that you bring to the table with your business? Have you gone out and in the prove it stage, have you figured out where those gaps are in the market? You know, something that maybe you could fill that your competitors are not. And then you want to make sure that you are staying one step ahead of them. Don't worry about who's behind you. Just worry about where you're going and what you're going to be doing.
Actually, one of our audience members asked this question. I'm going to see how much of it fits. Oh, it fit. Most of it fits here. Okay. So I noticed many businesses a lot for the cheapest help and begin to structure their business in a way that nearly eliminates growth. How does your program convince business owners to live up to a higher quality services so they can gain the most in their market? That was the dot dot dot. So in their market. Okay. Yeah.
Well, basically what it's one thing to understand is, first, you can't wear all the hats. Okay. You know, as a business owner, when you start out, a lot of them think, okay, I'm gonna save money by wearing all the hats. You know, I'm going to do the bookkeeping. I'm going to do the marketing. I'm going to do all of this. Okay. Very quickly, they realize that they're suffering from what I call OPA, overwhelm, paralysis, and avoidance.
Oh, wow. OPA.
OPA. You know, that's when you start suffering from OPA, you are on the verge of just blowing up. Okay. What you want to do is you want to concentrate on what your expertise is. If you started business because you do this well, focus on that. And then bring in other people to help you with the other parts that you're not good at. You don't have to hire them full time. You can hire them as virtual people or strategically partner with a company that brings that with them. All right. I'm working with a company right now, and we are partnering up because it's the federal government. It's the U.S. International Association of Federal No-Bid Contracts, okay? A lot of small business owners or business owners in general don't realize that the government has $30 trillion wow. worth of contracts for small businesses out there, all right? All we have to do is we just have to go after them. They're almost guaranteed to us. But the problem is people don't know about it. And then the ones that do know about it, they are not infrastructurally set up to service the contracts. So this strategic partnership that I'm bringing, I am basically serving as their educational arm and their accountability arm. As they bring customers on, I am going to be working with the customers to educate them, to get them in a position to service the contract, and then also the accountability that is needed to keep them moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, that audience member actually really liked your response. Really appreciated that response. So this kind of shows that this is a live show. You know, yeah. This is not recorded. You know, it's so critical that, you know, I think most small business owners get in their own way, you know, to kind of reiterate that point. When, I mean, there, it's two parts, right? One is, and I want to talk about the government bids too. One is maybe I don't have the funding, right? Even to get a freelancer to work for me for 2 hours a week or 3 hours a week. Maybe that's the reason. That could be a valid reason. And then once you start earning anything, as soon as you can, that's my advice. As soon as you can, don't feed yourself. Get somebody to do that because your future self is going to thank you for that. You know, that's one. You know,
it's going to end up costing you more money to do it yourself than it is to hire somebody.
And believe me, like the thing is, the facilities that are available, and I've written quite a lot about these things on Medium. I'm a writer on Medium. About business and productivity articles and stuff. There are so many facilities now in 2021. Taskers, there are any kind of task you have, even if it's a sliver of a task, you can find somebody to do it for you. Right. If it's a digital task or a social or marketing task or a strategy task or research task, there's platforms like Fiverr and other platforms like that that allows you to do that. If it's a physical help you need, TaskRabbit. Go and get somebody. Come. I need to put my truck is going to arrive. I need to empty that truck and put the merchandise in the warehouse. I need help, right?
Yeah.
For 3 hours. You can get a tasker to come in and help you. There's those facilities didn't exist 10 years ago. Yeah. Didn't exist. Yeah. You know, it's available to you. So it's just a matter of looking for those kinds of things. And it doesn't look like a paycheck, meaning that it's not a payroll. You don't need to get an employee that you have to pay benefits and all of those things. Those are real things you have to do as a business owner, small business owner. But until you get there and you have a need for a full-time person or a part-time person on 20 hours a week or something, till then you could get taskers. I mean, that's another qualified workforce, interesting workforce that could work for you, including remote workers. If it's a digital task that they could do sitting at home, they don't have to be in your office, in your home, in Indiana. You could hire somebody from Arizona to work on it, you know, because they have the skill set and they know how to do that.
Well, I mean, I've got two full-time, one part-time employee myself. Everybody else that I use, and here's one that you missed, interns.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You've got high school and college interns. I love working with high school interns. They are so creative. They're so eager to learn, you know, and things like that. But I use interns on a regular basis. You just have to make sure you have your systems outlined, your job descriptions, things like that. But I use them for my social media, for, you know, for posting and stuff. I use Fiverr. I've got one writer with Fiverr that I really like. And every 2 weeks, she writes a blog. I give her the topic and everything, but she writes the blog for me. You know, it cost me maybe $15, $20 for this blog. You know, it's worth it because I don't have to worry about it. I trust her. And I know every 2 weeks I'm going to have a new blog. You know, so there's ways that you can get around having to do it yourself so that you can concentrate on what you do well.
I mean, that's a really important advice. You know, if you can identify like you're really good at this one specific thing in your company, mm-hmm. maybe initially you have to pay your dues because you cannot afford or whatever. Got it. But mm-hmm. your goal should be, I don't want to do that thing, whatever that list is. The do not do list, you're doing it because you're forced to do it right now. But as soon as you could chip away at it, at that list, to like outsourcing it, get rid of it off your list, that's where you want to be. And then identify that one thing that you're amazing at. You buy the best smelling flowers, do that. That's your job. Yeah. That's it. Nothing else. Even though you own the company, that's what you're going to do forever, right? Because you love doing that and you're the best at it. You're not best at bookkeeping. You're not best at accounting. And it's interesting you bring up bookkeeping because every business owner thinks that, oh, bookkeeping, that's easy. I'm going to just get quick and I'm going to put the stuff in. And then they're hit with some sort of an IRS violation or something like that. And then they go screaming to see what happened. Oh, basic answer. It was not organized properly. You know, you needed to know that.
It's important to understand your why you went into business to begin with. Okay. What is your motivation behind why you went into business? Because that why is what's going to keep you going. If you get bogged down by the hows and everything else, that's where you're going to lose that motivation. All right. The hows, the whats, everything are very important, but you don't have to do it. Because keep in mind, the why is you. It's your motivation. It's your culture, everything that runs that business. You know, my motivation for what I do with Market Atomy is my heart for micro businesses, knowing what they're going through. And the fact that we as a nation here in the U.S., okay, we make it so easy to start a business, but hard to survive in business. The programs put in place are not set up to help first stage companies. They won't help them until they're over $500,000 in revenue, gross revenue every year. So the ones that are failing are the ones that are 10 employees or less, under $500,000 a year. And they're failing quick. And what happens is the owners, not only do their psyche take a hit, but so does the family environment take a hit. You know, if we as a nation can just figure out how we support these small micro business owners and help them survive, it's only going to have a positive effect on our GDP. It's going to have a positive effect on our labor force and on the psyche of both the family and the business owner. And that's where my motivation comes from.
So two things there I want to discuss. One, $30 trillion is not a small number. That's a gigantic number. And everyone who's watching this, you need to figure out and you need to get in touch with this lady to help you, help guide you through that. One thing I got to say is as a value add, for example, Amazon, I'm in the digital circle quite a lot with e-commerce. So Amazon started having webinars on selling as an Amazon seller, right? Selling to the Navy, to the Army, to the military, to the government and stuff. So they started having webinars. I don't sponsor them. I don't do anything. I just know that that's a fact. You should definitely Google it and try to see if you can attend some of those things to learn about those things, right? And the other thing I learned personally was that there are certain funds, again, no bid, set up for minorities also. So if it's a woman-owned business, if it's a minority-owned business, there are even classifications of government contracts and local government contracts too that are meant to be specifically for minorities and for women and other underrepresented groups and stuff like that. So if you belong to those groups, again, there's more reason for you to be researching this because that if you combine all of those numbers up, it's $30 trillion. It's not a small number, you know. So there's a ton of opportunity if you're manufacturing product or providing service or anything like that. Definitely there's something you could be doing for local government or national government.
And what's important to understand here is when you're talking about the minorities and the set-asides for minorities, those are still bid projects. All right. That is done through the 8A certified set asides. Okay. Yeah. Through the federal government. What we're talking about here, the no bid set asides, you don't have to bid. Okay. You choose what contracts you want and we go after them. You know, you can be a small business. You can be a startup business. The problem is that a lot of those startup and small businesses are not qualified to service the contract. That's where Market Atomy comes in this partnership. Now, the nice thing to understand about no bid contracts is, first of all, by law, they have to pay within 30 days. Okay, that's wow. where one of the issues come in when you're dealing with the federal government. They have to pay within 30 days. Secondly, what you need to understand is the fact that you can get up to $300,000 in contracts within the first 9 months. When you consider small businesses starting out, it takes 18 to 24 months to even break even. If you can get a federal contract or get federal contracts totaling $300,000 in 9 months, it's worth it. It's a no-win situation. So this is an opportunity that I didn't even know existed. I've responded to RFPs with federal contracts for 30 years within the architectural engineering construction market, but never knew about no-bid contracts.
Wow. Yeah, something really valuable to learn, really, because it's not a small number. It's a gigantic number. Definitely. I mean, I'm going to be Googling that right after this interview also.
I will send you the link so that you can put it in the transcripts.
Definitely.
So they can sign up. We have a webinar coming up on December 14th, an informational webinar.
Yeah, please share the link with me. I'll include it in all of wherever this is being consumed. It's published everywhere. So, we'll include it so that our audience can really definitely benefit from that. Now, one thing that I do want to touch on, because you and I talked about it before the show, right? Because this is not only Market Atomy is not just the business side of things that you do. You're embedded in this world pretty heavily. And you're working on some government. Your goal is to actually take it even bigger from a government standpoint too. That's what you said, government, and I reminded myself of that conversation you and I had.
My ultimate goal, what we call a BHAG, big hairy audacious goal. Okay, my big hairy audacious goal is to ultimately get in front of Congress and get a bill passed. So that small business, micro, first stage business owners that go through the education process and show certification, when they go and get their business license, show certification that they've gone through the training and everything, that they could qualify for incentives through the government, whether it be tax incentives, whether it be labor force incentives, you know, some kind of incentives that are going to help them grow their business.
That's really, really beneficial, because especially if that's where the pain point is, and that's something that could be helped. Because I think I've had so many small businesses in my career that I had to hunt for those things. I mean, thank you for Google and other search engines that exist or directories that you could find. But the thing is, if you are registering your incorporation or LLC, there should be a little packet, like, you know, when you give birth, you know, you mentioned birth so many times during this interview, you know.
I'm the business birthing specialist.
Yeah. So if, when you're birthing a company, they should give you a little packet, a welcome packet. Here you go. Here's a bunch of resources that you should actually explore or find or learn and something like that. Or even to get an icon, you know, everybody strives for that blue icon on Instagram and Twitter. There should be a little blue icon for businesses that got certified, that went through some sort of training, that they are, they know those kinds of things, you know?
Right. That's exactly it. And, you know, the funny thing you say that is, my very first book I ever published is called What to Expect When Expecting a Business. So.
Very funny.
Yes.
I'm sure that it's really, really valuable and resourceful book. So, you know, I had a great time with you, and for thank you for sharing those insights, especially the $30 trillion insight. What is your number one expert insight into like micro businesses and how they can succeed? You know, we talked quite a lot about failures. You know, well, what's your number one expert insight besides getting your course? I'm sure that they should do that right after this. Yeah. But besides that, what is your number $100,000 expert insight?
Number $100,000 insight is the fact that you can't do it in a vacuum. You cannot do this in a vacuum. You have to reach out and ask for help. You know, you really should have some kind of a coach, somebody that you can vent to, talk to, that's going to be able to help you get through the mental blocks that you're going to have as a business owner, and you will have them, all right? So that's probably the number one thing is you can't do it by yourself, you know, more than anything. So, yeah.
That's a really great advice. Knowing what you don't know.
Yeah.
And just coming to terms with that. Come to terms with that as soon as you can, because you're going to end up wasting a lot of money and time if you don't, you know, it's going to end up hurting you. Well, Dana, thank you for being on the show. I had a great time and I learned quite a lot about this. I mean, definitely it opened up my eyes. I mean, I'm sure that it's going to bring a lot of value to whoever's watching this episode. And thank you for our audience on LinkedIn and Anna from New Zealand. I really appreciate you joining us. I'm sure that it's very late there, you know. I really appreciate all of my audience members joining in and learning. Thank you again for tuning in, and thank you, Dana, for being an amazing guest.
I appreciate it. I really enjoyed myself, and I look forward to hearing from anybody who is interested in learning any more.
And definitely check out marketatomy.academy. That's the website right under her signature there. Definitely check it out. It's going to be quite valuable if you're a micro business or a small business owner. All right. Thank you, everyone.